Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihare Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Gopi Jana Vallava Jaya Girva Radhare Jaya Girva Radhare Gopi Jana Vallava Jaya Girva Radhare Jaya Girva Radhare Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braja Jana Anjana Jaya Brajana Ranjana Jaya Yashoda Nandana Jaya Brajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Jaya Brajana Ranjana Yamuna Teravana Chare Jaya Kunja Vihare Yamuna Teravana Chare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Prabhupada Srila Jai Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, today we'll be reading from chapter 4, text 1. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Imam vivashvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam. Okay, sorry, I will wait until it's chapter 4, text 1. Okay, I'll start again. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Imam vivashvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivashvan manave prava manur ikshvaku kave bravet. Imam vivashvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivashvan manave prava manur ikshvakave bravet. Ihi Bhagavan vacha. Imam vivashvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivashvan manave prava manur ikshvaku kave bravet. Imam vivashvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivashvan manave praha manurikshvakave bravet. Sri Bhagavan vacha. Imam vivashvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivashvan manave praha manurishka kave bravet. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, Imam, this, vivasvate, unto the Sun God, yogam, the science of one's relationship to the Supreme, proktavan, instructed, aham, I, avyayam, imperishable, vivasvan, the sun god's name, manave, unto the father of mankind, of the name vaivasvata, praha, told, Manu, the father of mankind, Ishvakave, unto King Ikshvaku, Abravit, said. The translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna, said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivashvan, and Vivashvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. Purport. Herein we find the history of the Bhagavad Gita traced from a remote time when it was delivered to the royal order of all planets, beginning from the sun planet. The kings of all planets are especially meant for the protection of the inhabitants, and therefore the royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from material bondage to lust. Human life is meant for cultivation of spiritual knowledge in eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the executive heads of all states and all planets are obliged to impart this lesson to the citizens by education, culture, and devotion. In other words, the executive heads of all states are intended to spread the science of Krishna consciousness so that the people may take advantage of this great science and pursue a successful path, utilizing the opportunity of the human form of life. In this millennium, the sun god is known as Vivashvan, the king of the sun, which is the origin of all planets within the solar system. In the Brahma Samhita, it is stated, Yak chakshuresha shavita sakala grahanam, rajas samasta suramurtir ashesha teja, yasya gyaya brahmati samvrita kala chakro, govinda madhi purusham tamaham bhajami. Let me worship, Lord Brahma said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person and under whose order the sun, which is the king of all planets, is assuming immense power and heat. The sun represents the eye of the Lord and traverses its orbit in obedience to his order. The sun is the king of the planets, and the sun god, at the present name of Vivashvan, rules the sun planet, which is controlling all other planets by supplying heat and light. He is rotating under the order of Krishna, and Lord Krishna originally made Vivashvan his first disciple to understand the science of Bhagavad Gita. The Gita is not, therefore, a speculative treatise for the insignificant mundane scholar, but is a standard of book of knowledge coming down from time immemorial. In the Mahabharata, Shanti Parva, 348-51-52, we can trace out the history of the Gita as follows. Treta yugado cha tato vivashvan manave dado manush cha loka brityartham sutta yekshvakave dado ikshvakuna cha katito Vyapya Lokan Avastita. In the beginning of the millennium known as Treta Yuga, the science of the relationship with the Supreme was delivered by Vivashvan to Manu. Manu, being the father of mankind, gave it to his son Maharaj Ikshvaku, the king of this earth planet and forefather of the Raghu dynasty, in which Lord Ramachandra appeared. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita existed in human society from the time of Maharaj Ikshvaku. At the present moment, we have just passed through 5,000 years of the Kali Yuga, which lasts 432,000 years. Before this, there was Dwapara Yuga, 800,000 years. And before that, there was Treta Yuga, 1,200,000 years. Thus, some 2,005,000 years ago, Manu spoke the Bhagavad Gita to his disciple and son Maharaj Ikshvaku, the king of this planet Earth. The age of the current Manu is calculated to last some 305,300,000 years, of which 120,400,000 have passed. Excepting that before the birth of Manu, the Gita was spoken by the Lord to his disciple the sun god Vivashvan, a rough estimate is that the Gita was spoken at least 120,400,000 years ago. In human society it has been extant for 2 million years. It was re-spoken by the Lord again to Arjuna about 5,000 years ago. That is the rough estimate of the history of the Gita, according to the Gita itself, and according to the version of the speaker, Lord Shri Krishna. It was spoken to the sun god Vivashvan because he is also Kshatriya and is the father of all Kshatriyas who are descendants of the sun god or the Surya Vamsha Kshatriyas. Because Bhagavad Gita is as good as the Vedas, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this knowledge is apurusheya, superhuman. Since the Vedic instructions are accepted as they are, without human interpretation, the Gita must therefore be accepted without mundane interpretation. The mundane wranglers may speculate on the Gita in their own ways, but that is not Bhagavad Gita as it is. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita has to be accepted as it is from the disciplic succession, and it is described herein that the Lord spoke to the sun god spoke to his son Manu, and Manu spoke to his son Ikshvaku. Long purpose. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Nama Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine. Sorry. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Siddhanta Swami Tinamana Namas Deve Gauravani Pracharine Vishesha Shunyavadi Pracharine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, I'm kind of very nervous. Please give me your blessings that I can say something useful and for everyone's benefit. So, something that struck me that was like important from the purport and this verse is how important is the Gita, and because here in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada is explaining how. He says, the kings of all planets are especially meant for the protection of the inhabitants, and therefore the royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from material bondage to lust. So, how in this verse, Krishna is explaining how he imparted this knowledge to Vivashvan, who's the king of the sun planet. And so imagining that this was a guide for who's like the, Prabhupada explains, who's the father of all Kshatriyas, he says, the son, Vivashvan. And he imparted, Krishna spoke this knowledge to such a person, so it has so much value. And also, in the previous chapters, towards the end of the chapter, Krishna was speaking so much about how the root cause of suffering is lust. And so in order for a society or an empire to be able to prosper properly, it needs a proper king and who's guided by the proper source. And here Krishna is giving this knowledge to these people so that everyone can access this knowledge. And it is, Prabhupada is explaining the purport, how it's so important that the kings should be educated with this knowledge, and they should in turn educate the people of the country. And so in that sense, the center of the whole kingdom is Krishna and the cultivation of spiritual knowledge. But then we can see, and then there is actually so many examples in the Bhagavatam of how we see there's many kings who have actually accepted this knowledge, and then they have ruled their kingdom with this knowledge. And like we have Ambarish Maharaj, and we have Parikshit Maharaj, then Prithu Maharaj, Ramachandra himself, who is Krishna. So there are so many examples in the Bhagavatam of an ideal empire where they're ruling with the guidance of Bhagavad Gita, or the knowledge or the science that was told to Krishna, that's told to Vivishwan through Krishna. And specifically, I was looking at Parikshit Maharaj's example, how he was conquering. He was already praised. If you read in the Bhagavatam, the first canto chapter 16, 17, 18, it's talking about Parikshit Maharaj's ruling of the empire, and there is a specific instance where it mentions Parikshit Maharaj was going out after he had taken up the role to conquer different areas and see how his kingdom is going, and he came to a place where he sees a bull is standing on one leg, meaning like his three legs are chopped off, and there is also a cow which is in tears, and also there is a Shudra who's dressed, yeah, a king who's dressed as a Shudra and beating these cows, and he was really taken aback, but the Bhagavatam describes it very in detail, and it shows how he was very taken aback, and he was saying, how can such a thing happen in my empire? And he was, it's one specific verse, it's 1.17.5 from Bhagavatam. It says, "Oh, who are you?" This is Parikshit Maharaj talking to the Shudra. "Oh, who are you? You appear to be strong, and yet you dare kill within my protection those who are helpless. By your dress, you pose yourself to be a godly man, king. But by your deeds, you are opposing the principles of the twice-born Kshatriyas." So it shows there is such a big contrast between what is the ideal way or of living a life of maintaining a kingdom, and how the present modern societies and the governments are ruling their states. Now there's cow, first of all, cow slaughter happening everywhere. And then on top of that, it's mainly just the whole point of ruling is It's based on lust, actually, if you see it, as explained by the previous chapter. They're all anchoring for power, fame. And I was also reading somewhere where the prime motive of the government is to actually maintain their position maintain themselves in their role of being the leader of, like, the president. That's their first motive, and then only secondary is to take care of the society. So there is a great contrast between that, and how can such leaders actually help themselves, first of all, and then help the society prosper in cultivating spiritual knowledge. I was giving another example was Lord Ram, and he was like Dharma manifested himself, personified, who was actually ruling his kingdom with great principles. And he couldn't also, when he was looking around in his kingdom in Ayodhya, and he couldn't bear that someone was using his example of how his wife Sita, who was actually not unchaste, but he, just due to what was appeared, it looked like she was unchaste, and he, the citizen, was using that as an excuse to, you know, chastise his specific incident that happened, you know, and just by that, immediately Ram was upset, and he had to set the proper example. He had to banish, I mean, he had to send Sita away. So that's like some high ideals of how a person should be ruling a state. And then when we compare nowadays in India, they're always talking about establishing like Ramarajya in India, but they actually don't know what it means to have Ramarajya, you know. Because they don't have the Bhagavad Gita, and that's not what they're basing their Ramarajya on. So then that's why, in some sense, it's this again, this point that I was mentioning, how important it is that the Bhagavad Gita is spread around to the leaders of the society. And I think Prabhupada, many times from his example, we can see that he actually endeavored always to go to the leaders of the society and make them and somehow give them the Gita or make them understand, like, or people who are famous, like we have example of George Harrison. He somehow gave him Krishna consciousness. Then we have other then also many times he also wrote a letter to Gandhi. Then there's also examples where he met the president of India, and he always was trying to somehow give the leaders of the society the Gita, and so that give Krishna consciousness so that they can actually make a big impact in the society. Then other points that is important in the purport is Prabhupada is mentioning how it's in the middle of the purport. He's saying The Gita is not, therefore, a speculative treatise for the insignificant mundane scholar, but is a standard book of knowledge coming down from time immemorial. And there is. I chose this point because there is many people who have interpreted the Gita and wrote their own versions of the Gita, and they consider Krishna to be an ordinary person, and this is for them another version of, you know, truth, and they don't accept the authority of the Gita. But again, this verse shows how Krishna is actually not an ordinary person, because he spoke this knowledge to Vivashvan, and Prabhupada gives a whole calculation of how many thousands and millions of years ago that was. He says around 120,400,000 years ago, this was spoken to Vivashvan. So no ordinary man can do such a thing. And then another important point is also of how we should understand the knowledge coming from a proper disciplic succession. And again, Prabhupada in many purports explains how there is like two ways we can try to understand the absolute truth. One is we can try to understand it through the ascending process, and another through the descending process. And Prabhupada gives many analogies to show the ascending process basically means that we are looking for the absolute truth by our own sense perceptions and trying to understand it with our own rationality and logic. And and Prabhupada says how that it's not actually possible, and it will take, I mean, yeah, first of all, it's like not possible. That's how the scientists are trying to establish the absolute, try to find the reality of life or what, and trying to find the answers to questions. But that is, Prabhupada explains how there's, first of all, we're having the four defects, you know, and we commit mistakes, we have the propensity to cheat, other ones were mistakes, cheating, and then imperfect senses, and we're illusioned. So these things will, first of all, they hamper us also to understand absolute truth. And the best way is actually, then Prabhupada says, to accept the authority that is already given, you know, coming from the Lord Himself. And then Prabhupada gives analogies of how, like, if you want to know who's your father, then you the first person you ask is your mother, and she can tell you. Or otherwise, you can go and search and ask every other individual, oh, are you my father? Are you my father? But which is the easier process is just going to your mother and asking who's your father. So in this sense, the best way of receiving the knowledge is coming from the Lord Himself and through the disciplic succession. And here, the Lord is sang one of the paramparas, that one of the disciplic successions, that is how he explained to Vivashvan, and then Vivashvan who explained it to Manu, and Manu to Ikshvaku. And also by listening through the disciplic succession, and then when you read from the scriptures coming through the disciplic succession, then you can actually see that everything makes sense when you understand it from there. And I was also, I think Prabhupada mentions this analogy, that coming from another benefit is trying to understand even the scriptures through ourselves is not very easy, but we can understand better when it comes through a person who has already realized it, and then he speaks it. And Prabhupada gave another analogy of how there's pigeons, the baby birds, they can't eat the food by themselves, but they have to take the food which is already chewed by the mother bird. She chews it first and then she gives it to the child. So like that, when we hear from a person who has already realized through the disciplic succession, then the knowledge becomes digestible to us. So I have several other points, but I think I want to end here. I heard there was, listening to a previous class, one devotee said a nice thing that which really struck me is this compares an outside society to a Krishna conscious society. And he said, how that a society shouldn't be in a vertical structure where everyone is competing to achieve the highest position in the hierarchy, but rather it should be in a radial structure where Krishna is in the center and everyone is helping each other to become the best servant. So this kind of is, in one sense, the conclusion I would like to say of this purport, is having Krishna in the center, and that's where the leaders should accept Krishna in this, study through the Gita, and then they maintain the society in that way, and the whole society is focused on somehow reaching Krishna. So that's what I would like to say. Any comments, questions? Okay, Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.
Stretch.